The text is the Gospel reading from St. John. On hearing it, many of Jesus' disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Here ends our text. I may sound like the con man Bernie Madoff today, but this is no pyramid scheme, no get-rich plan, no too-good-to-be-true proposal. There's tremendous profit available to you today. It's beyond what you've ever seen, heard, or imagined. Will you profit today? I can tell you for sure how you won't profit. The flesh without the Spirit profits nothing. The flesh without the Spirit of God hears but doesn't hear. Parents say things like, "You're hearing me, but you're not listening." Our text doesn't use two different words for hearing, and it doesn't use the word "accept" at all, as the insert translates. John says, on hearing it, many of Jesus' disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can hear it?" They heard Jesus saying, "He who eats and drinks me lives forever." They heard Jesus saying, "The one who believes has life eternal." They heard all these words with their ears of flesh. But without the Spirit of God, they couldn't hear any of them. The fallen flesh of men without the Spirit of God gets caught in a trap. The insert translates offend. Other translations have scandalize or stumble. But this is the Greek word for the bait stick, which triggered a trap when an animal touched it. Such an animal was trapped, and if not killed by the action of the trap, it would be by the trapper. So, the flesh without the Spirit of God isn't merely offended at salvation only being by and through the flesh and blood of Jesus. It doesn't merely stumble over the idea. It isn't merely scandalized at the man Jesus being the only object of saving faith. The flesh without the Spirit is trapped, and it will die eternally rather than believe in a man for salvation. Sinful, fallen humanity, the flesh without the Holy Spirit, does not walk with Jesus. The insert has "follow," but that is interpreting, not translating. It's not that the disciples no longer followed Jesus physically. They probably stayed around, even as Judas did. Even as many today do. They hang on to the visible church, so they really don't believe. Listen to how the Spirit uses "walk" in the rest of the New Testament. Romans 6 says, "We were buried with Christ in baptism so we might walk about in a new life." Galatians 5 says, "Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh." Ephesians 5 says, "As children of light, walk about." Colossians 2 says, "As you receive Jesus, in Him, walk." And 1 John 7 says, "If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins." See what a terrible thing it is when it says, "From this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." That's all the flesh without God's Spirit can do. All any of us can do without the Spirit of God is to step out of our baptism, pursue the deeds of our flesh, stumble in the darkness without Jesus and His blood cleansing us from our sins. I want you to profit today wildly. I want you to profit so much so that you say, I walked with God today. I'm going to live forever. I'm glad I came to church today. But your flesh without God's Spirit profits you nothing. And the Spirit of God without human flesh doesn't profit you either. Jesus in John 4 says, God is Spirit. God the Spirit is not under any laws of any kind. If God wanted up to be down and down to be up, it would be. If God wanted grass blue and the sky green, it would be. If God decided blue-eyed people could be killed by brown-eyed people and it would be moral, legal, and right, that's how it would be. So God as Spirit wasn't obligated, wasn't under any laws, not even the Ten Commandments. And that was absolutely no profit to us. But what does Galatians 4 say? God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. The Spirit with the flesh profits us big time. Taking on our flesh, God the Son, who was Spirit, also became flesh. And so, born into the world in the usual way, He was born under the laws of God. God as Spirit could not be our substitute. He couldn't enter the game of life in our place to play our position, to fill our role, to do all that the law required of us in our place. God as Spirit can only sit there on the sidelines and cheer us on. Or He could coach, but He couldn't play for us. And that's what I need. Cheering and coaching, that doesn't help me. I need a substitute to play the game of life for me perfectly. Why? Because if you don't play the game of life perfectly, you're dead. And not only are you dead, you're damned. And not only are you damned forever, but right today. Spirit without flesh profits me nothing. But God the Son took on my flesh and scored all the points needed for me to go to heaven. But there's still the matter of the mess I've made of my life and of the lives of others. Someone's got to pay that bill. God is a Spirit, and so couldn't be a sacrifice in place of sinners in the flesh. God as Spirit has no flesh to bruise, no flesh to beat, no flesh to whip, no flesh to nail, no flesh to damn, no flesh to spear, no flesh to bury. But in Jesus, the Spirit of God has flesh. In Jesus, God could and God did pay my bill, yours too, the bills of all the world. The Spirit in my flesh profits me eternally. The Spirit without the flesh could only go back to heaven without me. But Jesus said that's not what happened. He said that the Son of Man will ascend where He was before. Catch that? He did not say the Son of God, emphasizing His divine nature, but the Son of Man, emphasizing His human nature, will ascend to where it was before. This was to be a supreme comfort. Flesh like ours can go to heaven. It isn't so fallen as to be irredeemable. It isn't so dirty that it can't be cleansed for heaven. It isn't so dead, even when buried and decayed to dust, that it cannot be raised to heaven. The Spirit of God and the flesh of Jesus would so defeat sin, death, and the devil that He would win the right for flesh, your flesh, to go to heaven. It's not wrinkled, frail, diseased, dead, decayed flesh for you forever. No. The Spirit with your flesh profits you with resurrection, ascension into heaven, and everlasting life for your flesh today. Don't be like the crowds. Without the Spirit of God in their flesh, could only be trapped to death by the thought of the man Jesus ascending into heaven. They couldn't profit at all from that supreme comfort. Can you? Will you? That depends. That depends on the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus profit eternally. The meeting point today of flesh and spirit are the words of Jesus. Out of his mouth of flesh to our ears of flesh comes Jesus' words. And he declares that these words are spirit. When the elder read the lessons, out of his mouth came the Spirit of God. When you sang the Gloria in Excelsis, you were singing into each other's ears the Holy Spirit of God. And not just the audible words are spirit, so are the visible ones. The words added to baptism make baptism what Paul calls it, a renewal by the Holy Spirit. The words spoken by Jesus in communion make the bread and wine his body and blood, and his body and blood of the Spirit of God without measure. If you want to obtain the Holy Spirit, you must cling to the words of Jesus. He binds us to his word, declaring that they, and only they, are spirit and life. If you're going to have the Spirit, you can only have him via Jesus' words. If you're going to have life, not 80-odd years of it, not fallen, ill, afflicted life, but real life, you can have it in no other way than by Jesus' words. And yet, what do we do? And note well, I said, what do we do? Now, what do you do? What do we do? We try to find spirit and life in the words of men, whether in the promises of politicians, the advice of physicians, or in our own opinions. We seek God's spirit and life in them. We especially think we've found them when we've reasoned our way to some sort of spiritual conclusion. We weave feelings and thoughts and events together and slap a made by the Holy Spirit sign on it. This is what Martin Luther said of doing that. Whenever you hear anyone boast that he has something by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and it has no basis in God's word, no matter what it may be, tell him that this is the work of the devil. All the while we're boasting of how our flesh has reasoned its way to the Spirit, the words of Jesus, which really are spirit and life, are ignored. Our baptism sits in the font unused, as if it never did touch our flesh and give us the Spirit. The body and blood of Jesus, which are overflowing with spirit and life, are seldom appealed to, relied on, or even looked to by us. And as for the word preached, taught, or in the Bible in every one of your homes, it goes in one ear and out the other. No help at all against evil spirits or the death that stalks us. No, we marshal our thoughts, we marshal our feelings, we marshal our opinions against our fears, worries, and troubles. Rather than entering into battle with God's good gifts and spirit that we have in his word, we enter into battle with flesh. Weak, frail, dying flesh. Oh, that we would all profit today. Oh, that we would count of little value what we can reason, what we have experienced, or what we can figure. There is no profit in these. One minute you can reason that there's no cause to be afraid, only to be terrified the very next. One moment your experience tells you that this lump is benign, and the next you're sure you're dying. One second you figure that since you have your retirement plans all in order, you're set for life. And the next you're moaning about the poorhouse. Our reasoning, our experience, our figuring are all of the flesh. So why, oh why, do we constantly go back to them? There is no profit in them. Not today, not any day, and certainly not in eternity. Why, oh why, do the words of Jesus go begging? Unheard, unused, unrelied on. These words are the very Spirit of God and the eternal, everlasting, unending life of God. They are profitable today, tomorrow, and in eternity. The words of Jesus do not return 10% or 100% or even 1,000%. They return more than you have ever seen, heard, or imagined. Invest today. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.